Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's show of The Zach Drew Show. I'm your host, Zach Drew.
And I'm Andrew Bellers.
Man, I'll tell you what, we've had a busy week,
have we not? Yeah.
So as you know, we announced some very exciting news last week. Josh Peck, who was formerly with Skywatch TV for 7 years, has joined the team. We actually just got him all settled in the last 2 days. So he's getting everything organized in his new home right now. And he'll actually, as we're filming this, it is Friday the 23rd. And so he will begin full time this Monday.
Yeah.
And so he'll be on the show with me next week. We're incredibly excited. Most of you already know Josh. Josh, you know, he's written like 9 books. He's done like 3 different documentaries. And like I said, he had been serving Skywatch for 7 years, and we're so grateful for Skywatch and the Skywatch team and all that Tom Horn has built and created. So it is a time of radical change. We have things that we are preparing to do that we can't go into great detail in right now, but we're going to be getting kicked off. We have 2 strikes on YouTube, 1 more, we're gone. And we literally promoted a video last week of the big news that Josh Peck was coming. Yeah, real hate speech there, right?
Right. Yeah.
And we've been blocked from sponsoring any videos for the next several months. And they said that your account is currently in review to see if you ever can again. There has to be another source for us to go with that are actually have better algorithms than decent platforms like Rumble and Telegram. And that's what we're going to be working on in big ways. It's a time of great expansion. And I want to let you know that we started our fundraiser last week, this expansion fundraiser to do all that we need to do. We have the awesome support from our friend in California who manages many different trusts that he's going to be offering through Edwin and Eleanor a match of $30,000, and we honor their lives, as well as the lives of Jack and Marilyn Zuber, who are also matching $10,000, and who we refer to as Uncle Bill, mm-hmm. Right? Good old Uncle Bill, for another matching gift of $10,000. So we have 3 different trusts and for a matching total of $50,000. And we really desperately need to hit that. We started it last Friday. I want to give a very special thank you to Dan and Mary Ann. I want to give a special thank you to Roger, also Janet, Vicky, and a pledge by another couple that was actually a very large pledge. And so we have been able to raise, as of right now in the last week, $9,625. So we are almost 1/5 the way there. And we are just praying that you would get behind this matching fund. Right now, once again, we have a $50,000 matching fund from Edwin and Eleanor Mayer, Jack and Marilyn Zuber, and Uncle Bill, totaling $50,000. We're so grateful for their lives. And please get behind us. You can go to our website at www.zachdrewshow.com. Click that bright orange donate button. You can also just call the toll-free number that is on your screen right now or write us at Zach Drew Show at P.O. Box 797, Decatur, Illinois, 62525. I wish there was more that I could say. All I can say is that big things are coming with Josh coming and what we're planning on doing.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to totally change the face of the ministry. And this might be exaggerating, but I think it could change the face of Christian entertainment and Christian television in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great endorsement. We did not plan that. But I really do agree with you. Listen, let's get into some of the content for today. It's going to be kind of a news heavy day. I want to talk about this. The New York Post recently had an article, and it was talking about how the feds are buying mountains of your personal data, and one day they could use it against you. Let's go ahead and read some of this. It says federal agencies are secretly accumulating mountains of data that could be used for blackmail, stalking, harassment, and public shaming of American citizens. The latest federal surveillance tsunami is being spurred by purchase of commercially available information, which is called CAI. Basically, every single thing that is gathered about you, and you have no, like the common person thinks, yeah, they're gathering stuff from my cell phone, or, you know, you have no idea. I mean, they literally know everything about you. We're going to be getting into that. Exactly what do they know about you? But this CAI, this massive amount of data that's collected from all of these different data accumulating sources like smartphones and computers and other digital devices and trackers. So it talks about how, I want to read this. So CAI increases the power of the government, warns the Office of the Director of National Intelligence report. So this is actually, this is from the director of the DNI that's saying this. That's saying that CAI increases the power of the government. The government would never have been permitted to compel billions of people to carry location tracking devices on their persons at all times. That's right.
Yeah.
Right?
Just think about how, like, just, I just want to hang out there just for a second.
Yeah.
Think about how crazy of an idea, how crazy of an overreach of your freedoms that would be. Imagine the government without due process, without needing any kind of warrant, without having to go to any kind of court, could force you as a citizen to carry a tracker on your person. That's outrageous to think that that would even be possible. Mm-hmm. But now we're talking about people who voluntarily and willingly carry devices that track their every movement. And that information now is publicly available. And the government, without due process, without having to go to any court, can go to private companies and purchase your tracking data.
They're buying it up. They're buying it up right now. And they could use it for anything. Like I said, blackmail, stalking, harassment, public shaming, whatever they would like. Let's continue. So once again, the government would never have been permitted to compel billions of people to carry location tracking devices on the persons at all times, like we previously just said. To log and track most of their social interactions or to keep flawless records of all their reading habits. Federal agencies have always been permitted to use publicly available information for investigations, right? But the contrast between the data and of the old world and the new data because of the third and now fourth industrial revolution is so radically different that they compare it to a ride on horseback and a flight to the moon, as a federal court declared in 2014. So because of these old laws that have allowed the government to use public information, because we sign our lives away on that dotted line through all the internet that we consume, they can now use whatever they want, and they're buying it up. They are buying it up. The Supreme Court ruled in 2018 that police need a search warrant to seize tracking data on a person's car. But government agencies can simply purchase the same information from data brokers. Senator Ron Wyden cautions, if the government can buy its way around the Fourth Amendment due process, there will be few meaningful limits on government surveillance. Hey, and you know what? Just one more, just in case you didn't know. Here's an old article that talks about something interesting concerning this matter. Did you know that the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, bought a radical amount of cell phone data to track vaccination and lockdown compliance? Let's read this one. The Centers for Disease Control Prevention used location data from tens of millions of Americans' phones. I don't remember, you know, giving them permission, but, you know, I guess it's one of those, oh, you buy a new iPhone. You know what? I actually don't have time at the moment to read through these 1,700 pages of the terms and conditions. I'm gonna go ahead and just click yes.
Yeah.
The CDC specifically monitored Americans' visits to churches and schools, as well as detailed counts of visits to participating pharmacies for vaccine monitoring. The CDC also reportedly tracked people's movements during curfews and visits between neighbors. Unbelievable. A controversial data broker called Safeguard initially provided the data to the CDC for free. you know, they're just doing their part. Mm-hmm. During the outbreak of the pandemic, documents show. Then in 2021, the CDC reportedly hatched a deal to pay the company $420,000 for continued access. The CDC argued in the documents that data from Safeguard, which is backed by tech billionaire Peter Thiel and ex-Saudi Arabian intelligence chief Turki bin Faisal al-Saud, among other investors, help give the agency, quote, deeper insights into the pandemic as it pertains to human behavior. Come on, guys. This is the world we're living in. Let's keep building on this. There's a woman by the name of Shoshana Zuboff. Who is she? She's a professor of business administration of Harvard, at Harvard. So a lot back in the 80s, in 1988, she wrote a book, a very, very popular book. It was called The Age of the Smart Machine, The Future of Work and Power. And it, she was prophetic in a sense. She changed the way many thought about the impact of computerization on organizations at work. She was well above her, you know, well before her time in this regard. And then she kind of went quiet for a while because she'd been working on something for many years. And you first started to see what she was probably working on through a set of a couple of essays, one in an academic journal in 2015 and the other in a German newspaper in 2016. Now, what they revealed was she had come up with this new lens through which to view what we refer here to the ministry as the Frightful Five. But she primarily focused, I would say, on Google and Facebook. But, you know, you also have Amazon and Apple. But nothing less than talking about a brand new version of capitalism. Now, listen, I got to preface this by saying I'm a fan of capitalism. I'm not a fan of all types of capitalism. And I know almost every single human being, no matter how conservative you are not a fan of things like crony capitalism, because crony capitalism is what can actually destroy the purest form of what we set out to do with original capitalism. So there are forms of capitalism that truly are evil, and they are self-serving, and they will destroy what capitalism actually initially set out to destroy. But she had coined the phrase surveillance capitalism. So surveillance capitalism, it works by providing free services that billions of people cheerfully use. And it enables the providers of those services to monitor the behavior of those users in radical detail, and more often than not, without their explicit consent. So now, as she puts it herself, surveillance capitalism is, it unilaterally claims human experience as free raw material. Let that sink in. It claims that your human experience, your life, your experiences as an individual are free raw material for translation into behavioral data. Now, although some of these data are applied to service improvement, the rest are declared as proprietary behavioral surplus, fed into advanced manufacturing processes known as machine intelligence, and fabricated into prediction products that anticipate what you will do now. They are able to project what you will do soon and very accurately predict what you are going to do in the future, what you're going to do later. It's terrifying. I was talking to someone recently. I said, these things are 80 to 85% terrifying and 15 to 20% absolutely fascinating. Now, there's actually technology that exists like this. And most of us are just, you know, waking up, watching some TV, you know, going out to lunch and, you know, just hanging out. We have no idea what's actually happening. But she continued by saying, finally, these prediction products are traded in a new kind of marketplace that she calls behavioral futures markets, where people are betting. So essentially, we're just a bunch of corn or wheat or you know, oil that you can have a, you know, you bet your futures on. So surveillance capitalism, capitalists, they've grown immensely wealthy from these trading operations. For many companies are willing to lay bets on our future behavior. Now, I've said this before, and I will say it again. And please hear me, because it is so true. So please hear me. Data is the new oil. Oil is what has made the world go round. Data is the new oil. Civilizations have risen up from nothing, from the desert of nothing, like Saudi Arabia. Wars have been won, wars have been lost, all around oil. They are mining humans like coal. Humans and their digital experiences, thoughts and feelings, and our behavioral patterns. We are the greatest natural resource on Earth today. And data gathered by the frightful five being Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, and Microsoft. And we've talked about before how there are posers in your home. I mean, whether it's your streaming platforms or even, you know, your Roomba that's, you know, your little robot that vacuums your floors. You know, we've done shows about how it was released that they're actually collecting data on your home, on the exact layout. They're essentially drawing a blueprint of your home, and then they send that data in the cloud to the highest bidder, Roomba. And the Roombas are making more money, had made more money off of the selling of their data than the cost of their vacuums. And they were selling it to people like Amazon, by the way. And I remember one time I was in a conference in London, and we were there listening to a lecture from an executive, one of the major car companies of America. And I'll never forget what they said. They said that they will make, this company will make more money in the data off of future smart cars than the sale of the car itself. They will be able to make more money off of selling the data that the smart cars collect than the purchase price of that vehicle. And this would have been a few years ago, and he was talking about how two gigabytes of data is collected every couple of minutes in their smart car. And I remember he talking about how it had 11 sensors. I'll tell you right now that in 2023, if you buy a Tesla, it doesn't even have 11 sensors. It has 20 now. 20. But isn't that a startling fact? You know, it's like, I don't know, it's just so crazy. It's like you buy this computer for Apple, and Apple gets a check. But now, you know, Apple, it's like the world where Apple is making far more money on what they can sell, that they can gather on you, than, I'm not saying, I'm just giving an example because Apple didn't say it, but, you know, but remember Mohammed bin Salman, who will one day be the crown prince, he is the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, but one day he will be the king. And I remember a few years ago when the actual king was letting Mohammed bin Salman kind of take the reins and saying, hey, you know, here's your chance, rise to the occasion, I'm not going to be here forever. And then Mohammed bin Salman was taking things in a radical direction, and the king was like, whoa, let's rein you back in, you're not quite ready for this. And so now you haven't been hearing quite as much from Mohammed bin Salman. But it's like, my gosh, the king is an old man. He's going to be gone here relatively soon, and Mohammed bin Salman will be the king. And so don't remember, it was the crown prince that was pushing Aramco to go public. He was one that was pushing to sell off their oil. And the thing that makes them survive, it's like that's the only thing that they have. If they didn't have oil, you might as well just like imagine like what the movie Aladdin was like, right? I mean, like that's you know, like Arabian Nights, and just camels go. I mean, there would be nothing.
Yeah.
Right? But it's because of oil that made them into what they are today. And he was wanting to sell it all. Sell it all. Why would you want to sell it all whenever that's how you bank on making money annually every single year to sustain? You know, it's kind of like saying, hey, Bellers, would you like $1 million? Would you like $5 million right now? Or I could give you $2 million every year for the rest of your life. A smart man would say, I'll take the $2 million.
Right.
After 2.5 years, I'm already where I am.
Right.
You know? And so it's like, Aramco, it's like, well, let's just sell it all. Well, what are you going to do 10 years from now? And that was the plan. Muhammad bin Salman said that the future, the new oil, is data. It's IoT. It's the Internet of Things. We will make far more money every single year than we could ever have imagined through oil. What an incredible statement. And he was going to sell it all and to invest the entirety of it into IoT and to artificial intelligence. Yeah. That shows you where the world truly is going. Shoshana Zuboff, there's a quote, nearly every product or service that begins with the word smart or personalized, every internet-enabled device, every digital assistant is simply a supply chain interface for the unobstructed flow of behavioral data on its way to predicting our futures in a surveillance economy. Now, we've talked about cultural Marxism, the haves and the have-nots. And you could kind of say that the next wave of the have and the have-nots are the watchers and the watched. What does Google know about you? This is what? Or just, let's just say the internet, but this is really just Google. But this is just one of the frightful five. They know your appearance. They know what you look like, thanks to facial recognition. They're able to know exactly what your voice sounds like and to mimic your voice. Your religious and political beliefs, your health status, your personal details. Location tracking is one of the areas that Google excels in. They know where your home is, where your office is. They track and record your location through several means, including Wi-Fi, GPS, cellular networks. This means that the phone knows everything, everywhere you are, every day, and how long you're there for, the places you visit. Do you have a favorite coffee shop? They have it all. They have it all, and the Fed is buying it. Do you have a favorite coffee shop, a running round, a daycare center you use every weekday? Google probably knows about it. Places you've traveled. The company knows everything from who you're talking with to when and where you're seeing them. Who you talk to. If you use Gmail for your personal or work email, Google has a list of all of your contacts, and they have your emails. Where you meet, what you talk about. Google keeps track of what you talk about over the email. Remember the Frightful Five? I'm going just through the list of one of the Frightful Five. This is just Google.
Right.
The search engine creates and sells such a personalized advertising experience because they know what you like and dislike. Food, books, movies, where you shop, what you buy, your future plans. The company can also use data from their applications and search engine to make predictions about what you'll be doing in the future, what you're interested in buying, seeing, or eating, upcoming trips and reservations, future life plans. Have you been searching about home ownership? What, you know, about when the best age to have children is? Your online life, websites you've visited. Google keeps a comprehensive list of every site you've ever visited from any device. The site also keeps a running tab of every search you've run, every ad you've clicked on, every YouTube video you've ever watched, all of your browsing habits, from how many sites you have bookmarked to how many password and Chrome autofills. Google has a comprehensive understanding of your browser habits. They know you. They have a digital twin of who you are. And this is just one of the Frightful Five. We're running out of time, and there's a few more things I want to say. First, I want to make it practical, and I want to bring it back to why are they doing this. What are some very just simple, practical things that you can do? Right now, in 2023, this is what you can do. But I think this will change in just a few years. I think it'll be so invasive, even so much more than it is, that there's going to be a new game plan. But some very simple things that you can do. You need to pay a monthly subscription and find the best VPN provider that you can. We have VPNs. It's a virtual private network as your pathway to the internet. A VPN will protect your browsers from intruders and lower the number of ways that malicious actors, including governments, can break into your network. And I'm not even saying that what you're doing, that there might be, I'm not saying you want to hide because you're doing something wrong.
Right.
I'm saying privacy is a right within the Word of God. You have a right to privacy. And I'll explain that in a moment. That you there should be no government intrusion. Because I want to say this really quickly. The power to control one's own information is the mark of a free person rather than a slave. I'm going to say that again. The power to control one's own information is the mark of a free person rather than a slave. So I think that's going to be really important that you find a good, solid VPN to use. Also, if encrypting your emails is essential, you'll need to switch to a secure service like Start Mail, Proton Mail, or MailFence. That's another point. If it's been a while since you looked at your phone's location settings, do it now. A great deal of apps you have downloaded on your phone track wherever you go throughout the day. Go ahead, you know, let's just make it easy, and we're going to put a list up on how do you do this on the screen. So you be prepared to grab your remote or wherever you're watching and hit pause so you can do this right now. Here it is. Click settings, then privacy. Select location services, then scroll down to system preferences. Choose significant locations to see the record of where you've been and toggle it off. Just turn it off. Here's how to adjust location settings on an Android. Open settings, then scroll down and tap location. To stop all tracking, you can toggle use location off. If you don't want to remove all permissions, tap app location permissions. For each app, tap it to choose your preferred setting. And you can read on more about that. I gotta go quickly. Also, your streaming services are tracking your activity too. It makes sense because like Netflix, Hulu, and all the rest, you know, they're all tracking it. So you can go to a step-by-step guide on deleting your history on Netflix, Hulu, and more so they can't sell it, okay? If you have a smart TV, you have essential settings to review there too. You need to research that too. We don't have time to get into it right now. On your Samsung, LG, Amazon Fire TV, Roku TV from spying, you can delete that as well. The power to control one's information is the mark of a free person rather than a slave. Here's the thing. I got 1 minute. They want to be like God. And I want to read this for you because I got to say it quickly. Privacy takes on special meaning in the context of your spirituality. The psalmist identifies privacy with inwardness. You want truth in the most hidden places. You teach me wisdom in the most secret place. That's Psalms 51:6. Privacy is an attribute of God who owns secrets, Deuteronomy 29:29, and who creates humanity in secret, Psalms 139:15. We have no privacy from God, though. Understand, you and I, as the clay versus the potter, we have no privacy before God. They want to be like God. And God will reveal all secrets. Luke 8:17. The secrets of our heart are disclosed to God. 1 Corinthians 14:25. Who judges these secrets by Christ? Romans 2:16, these scriptural roots claim our attention in several areas of modern life, like we're talking about right now. It is a right to privacy. The power to control one's own information is the mark of a free person rather than a slave. We are called to be slaves and bondservants unto God. In this new system of those people who deem themselves as equals with God, they would like for us to be slaves unto them, them knowing all of our secrets and to expose us. We've got to go. We'll see you next week.